And we're here to emphasize a ministry that's oftentimes out of sight, out of mind, right? Hey, get those kids out of here, put them over somewhere, get them out of worship so they don't bother us, you know. Well, that's not Faith Community Church, amen? We believe that children are pretty important. And this morning we want to appreciate all the folks who minister to our children. And we also want to be encouraged to pray for our children. Faith Community Church is a family-focused church. And children will always be a priority at Faith Community. Say, oh man, all this kid stuff, you know, let's get on to the deep stuff. Let's get on to the, but listen, children are top priority to God. In Psalms 127, verses 3 through 5, the psalmist declared, children are a heritage. You could even say inheritance. Children are an inheritance from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward, and like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. Now, so you know, a full quiver is 12 arrows. So anybody here got that yet? Are you close? Kendra's getting close. She's got 9 arrows in her quiver. All right, so, hey, listen, happy. You know, we think children, oh, man, so children are so frustrated. Oh, how many kids you got? You know, oh, Kendra, we're so sorry. You know, don't you get that sometimes? But the Bible says, no, happy, happy. In fact, could we even go a little farther and say, happy is the church whose quiver is full of them. The more children, the better. Is that right? In fact, you want to kill a church, get rid of the children. When there's no children, that means the church is going to die soon. It's all about the children, isn't it? And I want you to think about this. You probably never considered this before, but Jesus, our Lord and Savior, came to earth just in the same manner that we came to earth. He was born as a baby. Is that right? I mean, think about that. He was born as a baby. That means that he grew up and learned through the process of becoming an adult to come to that place where he became the sacrifice for our sins. Think about it. He went through infancy. He was a toddler at one point. Jesus, the Son of God, was a toddler. It's true. He went through puberty, adolescence. He was a teenager. He even became a young adult at one point. Now, you know, if I was God, I might have sped up that process. How about you? Let's just kind of bypass some of that. But no, God didn't do that. He didn't hurry the process. He didn't skip over these seasons of life. He let Jesus experience everything we experience from infancy all the way up to adulthood. When you look at children this morning, what do you see? I'll tell you what I see. I see a generation of believers that are going to carry the torch of truth until Jesus comes again. Amen? Do you see that or do you see something else? Do you only see what's in the natural or do you understand that there is a kingdom principle at work among our children? Let me tell you, the enemy is fully aware of this and he hates children. In fact, it drives the devil crazy every time. He thinks he has a generation nailed down. A new generation rises up and marches over the hill. Man, that makes him want to pull his horns out, doesn't it? I mean, glory to God. Every time he thinks he's got it taken care of, then more come. And generation after generation. That's why, folks, and let me I know this is a sensitive topic, but that's why Satan loves abortion. Now, I know statistically there's probably people in this church who've had an abortion. And I want you to know that grace and mercy are for you in the kingdom. It's a sin like any other. How many here are guilty of adultery? Raise your hand. Oh. No, I didn't mean for you to raise your hand. But I appreciate your honesty, right? Hey, is that a sin? Yeah, we're not proud of that, are we? In fact, God has ministered to many in that arena. There's many things that we are broken people. We're broken people. But I want you to understand the big picture of what's going on. Worldwide, 40 million children are aborted every year. Let me put that in perspective for you. 29% of all babies conceived on planet Earth are never born. The enemy understands the importance of children, let me tell you. And throughout history, nations have been conquered by the destruction of their children. It's about the children. In fact, in Exodus 1, Pharaoh ordered the killing of all newborn babies. Why? To stop the growth of Israel. The babies. He was after the babies. But God did an amazing thing with that, didn't he? Even though that was going on, it was a horrible time in the life of God's children. He preserved in the midst of that, what? A deliverer. In what form? A baby. It was a baby. His name was Moses. And when his mother could hide him no longer, she put him in a basket and put him out in the Nile River. He was the deliverer of the children of Israel. He was going to be used mightily by God. But he came in the form of a baby. God saw something powerful. And I want to encourage you today, when you look at our children, you could be looking at a treasure. I want you to start going on a treasure hunt with our kids, because treasures are hidden in unexpected places. Here's some examples for you. Anybody know who that is? This was a young man. When he was growing up, his teacher wrote that he lacked imagination. His name was Walt Disney. Boy, was she wrong. Amen? He lacked imagination. See, sometimes we look at children and we get it all wrong, don't we? Because there's a treasure inside, and sometimes it's hard to see. Anybody recognize this face? This was a child that couldn't speak until he was 4 years old, and he didn't read till he was 7. His parents and teachers thought he was mentally handicapped. But he just turned out to win the Nobel Prize and became the face of modern physics, Albert Einstein. Boy, did they have that wrong. This is my favorite quote of Albert Einstein because of who he is. If you can't explain it simply, you don't understand it well enough. He really was a genius, wasn't he? Maybe you recognize this next face. Teenager, 15 years old. In fact, when I read his story, it reminds me a lot of me when I was growing up. Man, he was in and out of trouble. Probably a lot of people wrote him off. But he went to a crusade one night in Charlotte, North Carolina. And later, he became one of the greatest evangelists that we know in our generation, Billy Graham. Let me tell you, sometimes we're looking at children, we go, man, this kid is a nuisance. This child is taking me to my limit. Is that right? And I understand the tendency to say, let's find a place for them so they don't bother us. We like to have children in worship. You know why? I wish I had a camera the day this happened, but we were worshiping, and Cole was up here in the front row, and we were worshiping, and he looked over here, and he saw Charity and Megan over here, and they were kneeling, and they were worshiping. And I looked over, and Cole was looking at them, and he got on his knees, and he began to worship. How old is Cole? 3.5 years old. Listen, we need to understand the importance of children, that they are watching us and they're learning and they're important to God. Is that true? I know people wrote me off, but you know my testimony. I was in a reformed school as a kid growing up. My mom had 5 kids. Somebody actually told my mom one day, if you can believe this, they said, Ruth, hey, 4 out of 5 is not so bad. Even Jesus lost one. That's what they told her. Even Jesus lost one. But my mom never bought into that. She kept believing. She kept praying. She was believing for the treasure. She said, it's in there somewhere. We just got to find it, right? You say, man, it must be buried by a lot of stuff. It is. But God has a way of bringing that treasure up to the surface. And our children, they're just full of potential. Amen? In 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter, God instructed Samuel to go to the house of Jesse the Bethlehemite to choose a new king for Israel. You know, God had rejected Saul. And he told Samuel, we're going to get a new king. Samuel thought, oh, this is going to get hot and heavy. You know, he says, I want you to go to Jesse's house, and his boys are going to be there, and you're going to pick a king from his sons. And so he showed up. He said, we're going to have a sacrifice. You all come and bring your sons with you. And we know the scripture well, don't we? As these boys came into the room, and the prophet saw them, and this was a prophet. Whenever he came to town, people would go, whoa, Samuel's in town. Do you come in peace? because it was a big deal when the prophet came. And so he said, yes, I'm here in peace. We're here to do a sacrifice. He knew what the mission was. And one by one, these boys began to walk in front of him. And boy, they were some good-looking guys. And he thought, surely, I mean, the first son came. And he thought, surely this is the one. And God said, no, that's not the one. And then another one. And another one, and another one. And we know the story well. As he got through these boys, God spoke to the prophet. He said, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Apologize for those words being mixed up. I didn't catch that earlier, but you know what he's saying, right? Man looks up. Do we do that with our children? Yeah, we're judging them by what we see, right? But God's looking at the heart of the child. Leland, beautiful baby, right? What's the future hold for Leland? Gosh, if we could see it, probably exciting. God, could you just flash it up on the screen for us? What's going to happen? Where's he going to go to school? Who's he going to marry? Where's he going to college? What's going to happen to his life? I don't know, but I know God knows. It's already been written in a book somewhere, and the pages are going to start turning. It's going to be awesome. And when God looks at that child, he doesn't just see a cute little baby. He sees potential. He sees a treasure. He sees a future. He looks upon the heart of the past, the heart of the present, and the heart of the future. That's what God sees, and he wants us to do the same thing. Amen? We want to see what God sees in our kids. Well, we know he got to the seventh son, and there was a problem because Samuel got confused. He thought, wait a minute, God told me to come here. He said the next king of Israel was going to be here. It's going to be one of Jesse's sons, and this is it. I've seen all seven of them. And he turns to Jesse, and he said, are there any others? And Jesse, well, yeah. Yeah, there's David, the youngest. He's out taking care of the sheep. That'll tell you something. And Samuel says, I'm not going to sit down until you go get him. I want you to go get him and bring him to me. And when David walked into the room, God spoke to Samuel and he said, this is the one. I want you to anoint him. And he did. The scripture says he was ruddy. That doesn't mean he was a runt. That means red. You know, something might be had red hair, red complexion. I don't know. But I love this painting. It's one of my favorites. As he's being anointed. And the scripture says he was anointed and the Spirit came upon him from that day forward. Now, it always haunted him. I mean, we know what's coming next, right? Goliath. And David goes and sees what's going on. He offers himself to fight Goliath. And what is the opposition? What do they say? We do it too. What they say? What? You're just a youth. You're just a youth. How many of you know that many of the things in the Bible were done by youth? We picture people as older, but they weren't. Some of them were teenagers. And God was using them in mighty ways. We have a tendency to look at people and measure them by age, by stature, or even by behavior sometimes. Well, that kid, he'll never amount to anything. That's what they thought about me, you know, wow, that kid, he's just going to end up in prison somewhere, you know. Just concentrate on the others. No, there's a treasure in there. Listen to me, church, never write anyone off. Every child that comes to us, there could be great treasure in there, and some of them will test you to the limit. Just keep remembering, I know there's a treasure in there somewhere, and just believe God to show it to you. We need to take another look at our children, and we need to pray, God, show us what you see. In Mark, the 10th chapter, I want to give this to you real quickly. I know our time is limited today, but I want to run through this real quick. We know this story well, right? Jesus, the children, the disciples are trying to keep the children away from Jesus, and Jesus overhears it, and he responds in chapter 10, verse 13. This is what he said. And they brought young children to him that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, let the little children come to me. Do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter into it. And he took them up in his arms, and he put his hands on them, and he blessed them. In your insert, I want to give you just some eyes real quick. This is the example of Christ, and this is how we should respond to our children. Okay, first off, what did he do? He invited the children, and he included them in what was going on at that very moment. Disciples wanted to keep them out. Hey, send them to children's church. Do something, but get them out of here because they're just in the way. They're an annoyance. They didn't see children the way God saw them. Jesus said, no way. And he invited them and he included them. Beth told me the other day we were talking about this. She said, well, he also intervened. And he did. He intervened. We need to do that. You say, well, I'm not a parent. Well, are you a grandparent? Are you an aunt? Are you an uncle? Do you belong to this church? If you belong to this church, you're part of this family. And the children here, they're all part of our family, right? And we need to have that attitude of, hey, kids, you're invited. Hey, children, you're included in what's going on. Look at number two. What else did he do? He touched them. He took them up in his arms. What was it? He was being intimate with the children. You know, so often, I know we got to be careful today. You can't hug kids like you used to. You know, they'll think, oh, be careful, liability, you know. Well, that makes me sad that we can't experience touch with our children. But I pray in your family, in your home, that children will know intimate touch, the kind that expresses love and value and appreciation. Jesus did it. He said, bring those kids over here and let me touch them. You know, a little child walks by you in the hallway, pat them on the head. Hey, love you, glad you're here. You know, you don't understand how important that is. Jesus understood it. What's the last thing he did? What's the last thing? He imparted a blessing to these children. It's an interesting Greek word. It's where we get our word eulogy. Now, when you think of a eulogy, what do you think of? A funeral, right? We had a eulogy, didn't we? We had a eulogy. Yeah, but eulogies don't have to be just for funerals. What do you say in a eulogy? This guy was a dirty bum. He was awful, man. No, that's not what's said in eulogies. People try to find things that are good to say. Listen to me. Jesus was saying good things to the kids. He was speaking some positive words over them. We need to do the same thing. We need to do. And be careful what you say. Remember Detective Carr? He was a detective that arrested me once as a juvenile. And one time I was in this detention center, remember, and he looked over at me and he saw me looking out this little window. And I'll never forget, he goes, there's a good boy. And I went, whew, people didn't say that about me. Later on, as many of you know, I took my wife, Connie, and we went to Detective Carr's house after we were married. He was a retired detective, and we knocked on his door. He came to the door. I said, Detective Carr, I don't know if you remember me or not. I'm Joe Voss. And he said, you know, I do remember you, which is not good. But he said, I do remember you. And I said, well, I just want you to know. I don't know if you remember it or not, but there was a time when I was in the detention center that you said these words, and I want you to know I never forgot them. And I always remembered them, and your words were powerful. I want you to know what's happened in my life. I'm now in the ministry. I've gotten married. I have a family. And I could tell, just blessed him so much. Listen, he spoke positive words towards me. We need to do that with our children. Amen? Quickly, I want you to know the four seasons. You can write these in your if you're a parent, you're going to recognize these four seasons. If you're a grandparent, if you're an aunt, uncle, you need to know these seasons. I'm going to give them to you real quick. First one is discipline. Discipline is where we start with children. How many of you know discipline is a good thing, right? Hebrews 12, verses 5 through 11, it compares the discipline of God. He says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the ones he loves. I mean, believe discipline is a love language. Do we have children today that are not very disciplined? You don't believe it? Go to Walmart. Just sit there for a while and watch it. I was tempted to film one the other day. It was just this little boy was with his mother. And it's time to go, Johnny. I don't want to go. Well, we got to go. We got to go. I don't want to go. I want to stay. No, we have to go. I want this toy. You can't have that toy. I want it. Listen, Johnny, I'm going to give you a count of three. And we're going one, two. I mean it, Johnny. I mean it. Three's coming. Three. Nothing happened. Okay, I'm going to give you another chance. I thought, man, this kid is in total charge. He is in control, isn't he, of his mom? And I wanted to go over there and grab that kid by the seat of his pants and throw him in that basket and push him out to the car for her, but I thought it'd be bad news, you know, that this boy needs a little discipline is what he needs. We think discipline is harshness, and some of us have been disciplined in terrible ways. My mom tells me that I used to be beat by my dad, and I don't remember it. She says, oh, your dad used to beat you so bad, and today he'd be in jail for that. I don't remember a word. I think God just took it away from me. She said she used to cry at night thinking about it. It's not that kind of discipline. It's a discipline of love. And God treats us that way, doesn't he? If you are disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? He says, those who are trained by this discipline, it doesn't seem pleasant at the time. Is that why we resist it? Because we want our children to be happy, don't we? We want them to be laughing. Discipline's not pleasant for the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who are trained by it. Proverbs 29:17, discipline your children and they will give you peace. How many of you know that mother at Walmart did not have peace? Why? It was a lack of discipline. They will bring you the delights you desire. Here's season number two. What follows discipline? Discipline's for when the smaller they are, the more discipline they need. After that comes training. Is that right? Ephesians 6:4. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Amen? How many of you like that scripture? That's a good one, isn't it? Some of you have even thought, that scripture didn't come true for me, man. I trained up my child, and he's off in doodah land somewhere. Well, we're making it a little too spooky. See, if you read the next verse, what's it say? Do not be a slave to the lender. He's talking about practical stuff. And it's true, what your parents teach you, you will take with you into life. I taught my son, you'll always have a car payment. It's just who you're going to pay it to. Don't pay it to the bank, pay it to yourself. And from the time he was a teenager, we talked about that. And he borrowed a little money in the beginning. And when that payment was done, I said, keep making the payment. You got to keep making it. But Dad, I paid off the loan. No, you keep making the payment. You just keep making it because cars wear out. You're going to have to get another car. Keep making the payment. Never stop making the payment, ever. As long as you live, just make sure you pay it to yourself. And in time, you will be able to pay cash for your car. I remember he was 30 years old, and he called me one day. He says, Dad, I did it. So what'd you do, son? I paid cash for a new truck. I said, you did. In fact, I'm driving it. It's that black truck that I drive. Because he gave it to me later after he had kids and needed a minivan, which I'm glad. I'll take the truck. You take the minivan. But I remember he called me. I said, well, son, how did it feel? He said, man, it felt great, Dad. He said, I had all the power. I said, yes, you did. Because when you go to buy a car, what do they talk to you about all the time? What's your payment going to be? What's your payment going to be? Not what is the price of the vehicle. Listen, these are things we need to train our children in the area of finances. Is that right? It's important. Deuteronomy 6:6-7. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. That sounds like lifestyle training to me. Amen? Now here's the third season. This is a tough one, and some of you are in it, especially if you have teenagers. It's called coaching. Coaching. What do coaches do? Coaches do not play the game. They sit on the sideline. They call plays. They call timeout. They train and discipline, but they do not play the game. There comes a time in your life, especially when you have teenagers, that you have to let them play the game. You have to. You're letting loose of some of your control. In 1 Corinthians 3:6-7, I planted, Apollos water, but God gave the effect. So then neither he who plants is anything nor he who waters, but God who gives the effect. We plant and water. That's what we do as parents. And there comes a time when you have to let your children go. How many of you find that hard? You say, well, yeah, but I don't want them to mess up. Well, let me help you out. They will. Let's just get that off the table. They're going to mess up. They're not going to maybe do it the way you think they should. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he has begun a good work in you, will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Let me tell you, if you're a coach and you step on that field at the wrong time, what's going to happen? A flag's going to be thrown and your team's going to be penalized. Parents, listen to me, because I've done it myself. I've tried to play the game for my kids and it creates nothing but trouble. There comes a time when you're done with your discipline, you've done your training, now you let them play the game. And I already can tell you, it's not going to go the way. Sometimes you're going to be sitting on the... You ever seen a coach do this? You're going to do that, aren't you? That's not the way we... That's not the way I trained you. That's not the way. See, children are independent people, aren't they? And there comes a time when you got to let them play the game and just trust God. And the third season, you got to wait for this one. This one you got to really wait for. It's the season of friendship. Friendship. Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves at all times. A brother is born for adversity. 18:24. There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Friendship is for adult children. And you'll get to, I experience that with my children now. My daughter lives away, so not so much with her. But with my son, I can go to the coffee shop. Hey, let's go have coffee. We go have coffee. We sit and talk as equals. Two men getting together. He's my son. I'm his father. It's a great season, isn't it? Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Now I'm going to talk to us seniors. Who's going to take care of us? Our children, when we fall, they're going to pick us up, aren't they? It's a new season in their life. They start taking care of us. I'll never forget when my mother passed away this year. And she was in the hospital. And I'll never forget the Sunday night I was with her before she died. She said, Joe, when did you become the parent and I become the child? I said, I don't know, Mom, but I know it happened. I know it happened. Mom needed me. I told her, I said, Mom, I'm going to take care of you. You don't have to worry. I'm going to take care of you. See, I'm no longer the child. Friendship. We laid together that night. I put the chair up level with her bed where I could hold her hand. I said, Mom, do you remember when I was little and I was scared of the dark? And I would come into your room and you'd tell me to bring my pillow and lay down by your bed. She goes, yeah, I remember that. You were always afraid of the dark, shadows, lights in the city, you know. I said, well, Mom, I got my pillow, but I'm not afraid. Are you afraid? And she said, just a little, just a little. That's a new season that you'll get to experience if you go through all those seasons. I remember discipline. I remember training, coaching, significant. Some of you are... Which season are you in? I don't know. But friendship will come. I guarantee you, you wait for it. It's a blessing from God. And lastly, I close with the three parts. You already know them. I'm just going to give them to you. No matter what you're doing, always look for these three parts. They're always there. There's God's part. Is that right? There's your part. And there's others' part. Doesn't matter what you're talking about. And when it comes to children, this is so important because I tell you, God's got a part and it's not your part. You have a part as a parent, but God has a part. And then there's other people's part and there's your children's part. And you have to let them go at some point and relinquish control because it will have the opposite effect if you try to control. There comes a time when you're in a new season and you let that go and believe, trust God to do his part. Can you do that? Can you trust him? Because if you start doing God's part, you know what's going to happen? This is what's going to happen. You're going to try to do God's part, and then you know what else you're going to try to do? You're going to try to do your kid's part. And guess what happens? You don't do your part. Focus on your part. What is your part? God has called us to these seasons. And as a church, we want to encourage you and assist you in that process. Amen? So wherever you are today, I want to encourage you. We're going to pray together. I'm going to ask our pianist to come, Christina. And we're just going to close in a time of prayer. I know we're a little bit past noon, but I want to give you an opportunity. We've already had communion today. So I want to give you an opportunity as we close the service. If you would like for somebody to agree with you in prayer about this subject, maybe you're trying to discern the season. I don't know. But we're here. We'll stay as long as you need us to. We want to pray with you. We want to encourage you. As a parent, as a grandparent, maybe you have some nephews and nieces, maybe you're just part of this church and you love the children here, and you want to follow the example of Jesus. Would you make that commitment today to include them, to be intimate with them, and to impart a blessing over them? That's how we bless our children. Amen. You want to do that? As a church, we can do that. We saw that. I mean, was that covenant today powerful, what those parents wrote? Whew. Is Leland blessed? Leland's blessed, and he doesn't even know it yet. But he's so blessed. Those words, one day, I wish I could be there when he asked, what's that? Well, let me read it to you. What's he going to receive from that? Just what Jesus did. And they're probably going to pick him up in their arms, just like Jesus did. And they're going to touch him, and they're going to speak a blessing over him, and they're going to read that covenant. Woo! That's the model, and we're going to walk in it. Pray that God will let you see our children the way he sees them. Would you do that with me right now? I'm going to pray with you, and then we're going to dismiss the service. If you're here today and you need healing in your body, we want to pray with you. We'll anoint you with oil. You just need prayer. You need somebody to speak into your life. We have people here that we really trust who will minister to you faithfully. Please take advantage of that. If you just need encouragement as a parent or grandparent, things might not be, you know, things are contrary to hope. Say, you know, I hear all that. That's wonderful, but that's not happening for me right now. And you just need some encouragement. We want to offer that to you today. Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? And we're going to pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity today to be here in this place. And we hear the word of the Lord. We hear the prophetic words that were spoken in our hearts today. Lord, help us not just to be hearers, but we want to respond to everything we've heard here today. There's a lot. It's a lot. But I know you're going to help us. You're going to help us, Lord. We're going to be able to apply these things in our lives. Lord, this is important. This is so important to you. Children are important to you, and we want them to be important to us. Would you help us get our heads on straight? Let us see what you see. Let us hear what you hear. Let us speak the things that you're speaking, especially over our children. Lord, forgive us for the times we have not done that. And by your grace, would you take up the slack for us as we stand in this place of commitment. Lord, minister to all who have gathered in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in the love of God and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Please come. We'll be here to pray with you. Thank you for coming here today. Hug somebody's neck before you leave. God bless you.